Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, how is the work of the National Jewish Fund related to Tu B'Shvat? This week we're speaking with Ami Bar about the upcoming holiday of Tu B'Shvat. Ami is an Israeli historian and archaeologist with a special interest in Israeli folklore and traditions, especially those of the Talmudic period from the 1st to the 6th centuries of the Common Era, and after the arrival of Jews from Spain beginning in the 14th century. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Ami. Could you tell us, please, first, when Tu B'Shvat is and the origin of this holiday?
Tu B'Shvat is the 15th day of the month of Shvat. As you know, we have 13 months, and Shvat is one of them. It marks the day or the period when the sap of the trees starts running in the tree. In very ancient times, and by very ancient times, I mean before the Second Temple period, maybe between 600 BC and 0 AD, they would mark the age of a tree from that day of the month. That is, if the tree was 4 years old, they would start from the 15th day of the month of Shvat, the fourth anniversary. That's when you could start eating the fruits of the tree.
So then, if it's when the sap starts running, it's sort of like the beginning of spring.
It is. It marks the end of the winter, or the beginning of the end of the winter. Let's put it that way. In many places, you can see that the biblical trees in Israel start flowering before the end. And if they start flowering, that means that the sap is running already.
Can you tell us something about how this was commemorated in ancient Israel?
Yes. In the Talmudic period, it was customary for the family to plant a tree when a child was born. When the children would grow and marry, branches from the same tree would be cut and used to support the chuppah, or bridal canopy, for good luck. From early age, the children care for their own trees.
That's a beautiful custom.
It is.
Does that still happen? I mean, do families still plant trees when a child is born?
No, it doesn't happen except between the religious kibbutzim. The religious kibbutzim, you know, there is about, out of the 254 kibbutzim in the country, there are 25 kibbutzim which are religious, and they still do that.
And how is Tu B'Shvat celebrated in the diaspora? Because some places are very cold, some places are very warm. I guess the sap starts running at different times.
In the diaspora, even in cold places like Russia and Poland, they would celebrate Tu B'Shvat, not by planting trees, because the winter, as you know, ends much, much, much later. The children would open their bags in the cheder and would find fruits that would remind them of Zion, of the Holy Land, that is figs, dates, raisins, and the fruit of the carob tree.
Where did they get these fruits from in Poland and Russia?
They would bring them at an enormous price to Russia through the port of Odessa. We know that because there are documents that talk about importing fruits from the Holy Land to Odessa. Odessa is the port in the Black Sea. And from there they would be sent to all over Russia and Poland.
Is this in the 19th century? When is this?
The 19th century, yes.
Can you tell us about the custom that they had in Safat, in Israel?
Safat became a center, as you know, for the Kabbalah when Jews from Spain settled there around 1536, 1540, and they brought the customs that they had in Spain. The Spanish Jews in Safat started the custom of holding kind of seder. It was not exactly a seder, but it was a festive meal in which they would eat of the fruits, not only the fruits of the land, but many other fruits that were not even part of the land. And the custom starts at this time in Tzfat. The Kabbalists, as you know, were from Spain, especially from many of them from Catalonia, which is the beginning of the Kabbalah.
Let's speak a little bit about how Tu B'Shvat is celebrated now, first in Israel. What can you tell us?
In Israel, is celebrated by thousands of people gathered to plant trees. Not only children, but thousands of people from all kinds of institutions, but especially educational institutions. It marks the end of the rainy season. Tu B'Shvat reminds the people the way Israel has bloomed in contrast to what it was 70 or 60 years ago. In the hot tropical coastal plain and in the cooler Galilean region, but especially in the desert, in the Negev, in the south. Outside Israel, Jews in Tu B'Shvat contribute to the reforestation of Israel by donating money to the Jewish National Fund, which plants millions of trees all over Israel. Those trees help reclaim for cultivation the earth which has been worn out by centuries of erosion and shifting sand dunes in the Negev. Since the creation of the State of Israel, the Jewish National Fund has planted millions of trees and prepared the soil for hundreds of kibbutzim and moshavim. There are 258 kibbutzim, 450-something moshavim. They couldn't exist without the Jewish National Fund preparing the land for cultivation.
If a kibbutz, for example, feels that they want to plant some trees in some of their land or something, can they go to the Jewish National Fund and say, listen, we would like some trees?
Yes, that's what happens usually. They get the trees for free from the Jewish National Fund. And today they also eat, the kids and the adults eat fruits from Israel on this day. There is a legend that illustrates the words of the trees for Israel. It's from the time of the Talmud. It is about Choni HaMeagel, Choni the circle maker, very well-known figure in the Talmud from the first century BC. He was walking one day on the road in the Galilee. At that time, there were Jews only in the Galilee. He saw a man planting a carob tree. Choni said to the man, you know that it takes 70 years before a carob tree bears fruit. Are you sure that you will live 70 years and eat from them? The man replied, I found this world with many carob trees, as my ancestors planted them for me, so I plant them for my children. And that's the story. It is in the Talmud. You can see it in the Talmud.
So this not only talks about the trees, but it also talks about transmitting the traditions and continuing life, so to speak, for generations to come.
Yes, and that's why it is trees in Israel are considered life, not more and not less. They are considered life. And that's the job of the National Jewish Fund.
Is there anything else that you can add?
When the Spanish Jews arrived into the Holy Land in the 16th century, they found other Jews, a few ones, who had never left for the diaspora. And he had to teach them these customs. I mean, the new customs. They had the old customs. They had the old customs from the time of the Second Temple, at which they would use the date of the 15th of Shvat for tithes, for the taxes that they would pay the king or the Roman Empire, in the case of it was the Roman Empire, or the king. But they didn't have the custom of eating of the fruits of the trees of Eretz Israel. It was the Spanish Jews who apparently started this custom. And the history tells us that they used to have something very much like a seder, very much like a seder, where they would eat not just the four or five species mentioned in Sukkot, but all the fruits, not only the fruits that existed in Israel, but also fruits from the outside.
And then this custom was adopted by the Jews who had remained in Eretz Israel during those centuries.
Yes, when the Jews of Spain arrived after the expulsion from Spain, they, I wouldn't say imposed, but they caused that all the Jews of Eretz Israel would adopt this practice also.
Was this mainly in Sfat, or was this in the whole north, or where was it?
The main city of the Spanish Jews was in Sfat. There were another three towns that were populated by Spanish Jews, which were Hebron, Tiberias, and Jerusalem. But the main, the biggest one was in Sfat, that, as you know, was the center for the Kabbalists.
Now, is Tu B'Shvat celebrated basically the same way all over Israel, or do the different ethnic groups have different customs the way they do, say, at Pesach?
They have a little bit of a difference, but it's basically, this since the creation of the State of Israel, we have basically the same customs, with one or little variance by the Bukharan Jews, for instance. Bukharan Jews come from Asia, from Central Asia, and they have been there since the time of the First Temple period. So they are a little bit different, and they have dances, and they have celebrations, not just a meal. But all over Israel you have festive meals, including the kibbutzim and the moshavim. And you have even people coming to visit the kibbutzim and the moshavim to see the kibbutznikim and the moshavnikim rejoicing.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.